Welcome to today's edition of the Maya Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Haley Gilley. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news, and the show starts with a look at California agricultural news.
Early registration for the 2024 Crop Consultant Conference, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors, is now open. The popular event for certified crop advisors, pest control advisors, grower applicators, and industry professionals is the mainstay for all continuing education needs this year and will take place on September 25th and 26th at the Visalia Convention Center. Visit myaglife.com/events for the early discounted rate of $275 per person, which includes the live conference, a trade show with 70 plus exhibits, first class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. We'll see you there.
California has agreed to make long-term cuts to the amount of water the state uses from the Colorado River. The U.S. Bureau of Reclamation and seven states in the Colorado River Basin, as well as 30 tribes and Mexico, are negotiating a plan to protect the river after a decades-long mega-drought depleted flows and left key reservoirs, Lake Mead and Lake Powell, in danger of running dry. Under a low basin state's proposal, which would take effect after 2026, would potentially last decades. California would forfeit about 10% of its allocation in most conditions. There was a glimmer of hope for Class 3 milk prices during the week of March 11th, only to have the support knocked out from under the market by the end of the week. Some traders became excited over the potential that buyers of cheese would take advantage of the low prices and buy more heavily. Traders pushed prices higher, which resulted in Class 3 futures already having stronger prices factored in. Nearby futures contracts fell back near the lows again. This pattern may be repeated a few times before the market moves higher. The low cheese prices will see buyer interest cause the market to bounce. Those bounces may be short-lived, but it may indicate the market has bottomed and eventually cheese prices will either move to a higher trading range or they will slowly trend higher. Prices will not remain at this level indefinitely. This time of year generally does not see aggressive demand, which limits the desire of end users to buy very much ahead and then pay storage for an extended period. It also depends on whether purchasing is done for immediate demand or for building aging programs. Milk production is running below a year ago and is likely to continue that way for much of this year. The key to better milk prices will be up to the level of demand both domestically and internationally. That is not just for cheese, but for all dairy products. There will be a lot of interest in the level of cow numbers moving forward. The February milk production report will show that cow numbers will be compared to the previous month. This may have an impact on the trading of milk futures. The January milk production report showed a decrease in cow numbers of 23,000 head from December, which resulted in a strong price movement higher in anticipation of a potential repeat of what took place in the fall of 2021. However, the time was not right and buyers of products of the underlying cash market did not materialize as had been anticipated. Another substantial decline in cow numbers in February could result in the same response, but again, it could be short-lived due to the time of the year when demand is slower. Looking back at 2023, some interesting statistics are carried over into this year that could result in some stronger prices later this year if demand improves. There were 16 states in the U.S. that showed a higher percentage of milk production for the year. Of those 16 states, there were 9 of them that had an increase in cow numbers for the year. There were 5 of the states that had an increase in production that had steady cow numbers within 2 states, increasing in production even with a decline in cow numbers. There were 13 states which maintained steady cow numbers last year compared to 2022. There were 28 states which decreased in cow numbers. Continued low milk prices will not change this much over the rest of this year, and it could see further reduction in cow numbers as heifer replacements are tight and increasing in price. This would tighten milk, eventually increasing milk prices. California's landmark 2014 Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, which requires local agencies to create a roadmap to protect aquifer supplies for generations to come, turns 10 this year. The law was adopted amid the 2012-2015 drought when a lack of surface water and depleted groundwater brought agriculture, especially California's citrus belt on the east side of the San Joaquin Valley, to a near halt. SGMA presents a difficult adjustment for agriculture. Researchers say the groundwater law could result in the fallowing of between 500,000 and 1 million acres of farmland. The U.S. Department of Agriculture's Agriculture Marketing Service, AMS, awarded approximately $40.5 million for 60 grant projects through the Organic Market Development Grant Program. These projects will support the development of new and existing organic markets, support the infrastructure to improve processing capacity, explore emerging technologies to promote organic products, and purchase equipment to help meet the increasing demand for organic commodities. USDA anticipates the projects funded through these programs will benefit more than 27,000 producers and over 31.8 million consumers by increasing organic market opportunities. USDA Deputy Secretary Sochi Torres-Small and Under Secretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs Jenny Lester Moffitt made the announcement at Natural Products Expo West in Anaheim, California. In May 2023, USDA announced a total of $75 million available through the Organic Market Development Grant Program to increase the availability and demand for domestically produced organic agricultural products and to address the need for additional market paths. This second round of Organic Market Development Grant awards for the market development and promotion, simplified equipment only, and processing capacity expansion project types is funded by the Commodity Credit Corporation. In January 2024, USDA announced $9.75 million for the first round of awards through this program. USDA will make the final award announcement for this program in the coming months. AMS gave priority consideration to projects addressing specific pinpointed market needs for organic grains and livestock feed, organic dairy, organic fibers, organic legumes, and other rotational crops, and organic ingredients currently unavailable in organic form. This grant program is part of the USDA Organic Transition Initiative, launched in the fall of 2022, which offers a suite of programs and resources to help existing organic farmers and those transitioning to organic production and processing. Researchers at the University of California, Davis are studying agave plants as a potential drought-tolerant option for California farmers. The research is centered on agave genetics, virus susceptibility, pest control, soil management, and crop productivity. UC Davis began investigating the crop after farm owners Stuart and Lisa Wolf established a research fund to determine if agave is viable for agriculture in California. Agave is used to produce tequila and mezcal in Mexico, can be distilled into spirits, used as a fiber, or converted into a sweetener.
The Western Region Certified Crop Advisor Program is excited to announce the fifth annual scholarship program for students interested in agronomy and obtaining their Certified Crop Advisor credentials. Scholarship recipients are the next generation of leaders in the agriculture industry, so this is a great opportunity. Aaron Wingate is a CCA with TriTech Ag Products and sits on Western Region CCA's executive board.
The Western Region Certified Crop Advisor Organization is offering four $1,000 scholarships to undergraduate students, and one student from each of four different regions will receive those scholarships. The four regions are the Arizona-California Desert, the California Coastal Region, Northern Valley region of California, and the Southern Valley region. In addition to the student scholarships, we also are offering four $500 honorariums to professors and educators. And again, one from each of those four regions: Desert, Coast, North Valley, and South Valley.
The application can be filled out by ag students online at www.wrcca.org/scholarships. And for educators at www.wrcca.org/honorariums. Both applications are fairly simple and quick.
Fill out an application with a few questions that are in a paragraph response format. So we want to know about your coursework, what year you are in school, what your GPA is and your major. We want you to describe any scholarships or awards or special recognition that you've gotten through school or other programs. We want to know a bit about your involvement in the community and whether you have any leadership experience or ambition. And we want to know your professional commitment so far to agriculture. If you're a student, have you done any internships? Have you worked during the summers on farms, that kind of thing. And then lastly, but still important, is we want to encourage students to become certified crop advisors. So we want to hear about what your plan is to becoming a CCA. When do you plan on taking that exam? And and if it's really a solid part of your career development plan.
There's also the honorariums, which awards ag educators currently in the field who are making an impact in their communities and institutions. These will be offered in the 4 geographical areas applicable to the student scholarships. For the application, educators need to write and submit a plan of how they would use the funds to further students' agronomic educations.
We really want to find teachers who are dedicated to including agronomy in their coursework. And we're looking for teachers that have creative ideas, but just need a little bit more funding to make their lesson plans happen. So they need to write a plan about how they'll use the funds to help their students and submit that letter to wrcca.org/honorariums.
Wingate agreed that these scholarships can have significant impacts for the students receiving them and expressed the importance of applying. At the end of the day, these students are part of the next generation of ag consultants.
Now, more than ever before, it's very important to be a well-rounded agronomist. Most companies and in the industry want consultants who are not just pest control advisors, but also certified crop advisors. And that helps our customers, our growers and farmers, meet the regulatory requirements that are becoming more and more strict on nitrogen and irrigation management, in addition to pest control. And not only the regulatory side, but also crop health, pest and disease resistance, tolerance, that is all related to nutrient management, water management, and soil quality. And so to bring growers the best advice possible, becoming a certified crop advisor is a great first step. You can get a very well-rounded understanding of what's going on in the soil and the dynamics between plants and their environment. And I think that this scholarship program is a great way for students to get a bit of a boost and also become connected with the certified crop advisor organization and meet professionals in the industry. The scholarships will be awarded at the Progressive Crop Consultant Conference in Visalia in September. And the winners are encouraged to come to that conference, where they will be recognized and can meet all kinds of people who can inspire them and connect them and form their new and growing network.
Registration for the Crop Consultant Conference, where the awards will be presented, is currently open. Go to myaglife.com/events for more information. You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Charlstrom.
Farm and ranch families from across the nation donated 31 million pounds of food and raised $425,879 to help fight hunger and assist in other community service outreach in 2023 through Farm Bureau's Harvest for All program. Combined, the monetary and food donations totaled the equivalent of 26 million meals. Criteria for tracking Harvest for All donations included dollars and pounds of food donated by state and county farm bureaus, as well as volunteer hours, reported from the grassroots up as part of the annual campaign. The spirit of farm communities has always been one of working together and giving back. Now in its 22nd year, Harvest for All is spearheaded by members of Farm Bureau's Young Farmers and Ranchers program, but members of all ages from across the nation contribute to the effort. Their participation helps ensure Americans who are facing food insecurity can enjoy the bounty of food farmers and ranchers produce. In addition to raising food and funds, farmers and ranchers tallied 21,571 hours for local food insecurity efforts and other community service. Since Harvest for All was launched, Farm Bureau families have gathered 468 million pounds of food, logged more than 250,000 volunteer hours, and raised nearly $11.5 million in donations. In 2023, AFBF earned a prestigious Power of Associations Summit Award from the American Society of Association Executives in recognition of Harvest for All's success in addressing hunger in rural America over the past 20-plus years. Have you ever stood in a room filled with farmers and asked if they've had a close call or injury incident on the farm? Most hands will probably go up, and each hand represents a story. 4 agricultural safety centers, three of them regional centers funded by the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, collaborate with storytellers to disseminate cautionary tales embedded with prevention messages and carrying the theme, "We don't want this to happen to anyone else." Using the kit or the website is a great way to share these stories, especially with the next generation of agriculture, such as middle school, high school, and college students. Telling stories, reading stories, and hearing stories, all to promote learning, telling the Story Project stories, fits so well with that intent, says Ellen Dewison, coordinator and outreach specialist for the Central States Center for Agriculture Safety and Health. These stories can be used year-round to teach injury prevention lessons and to initiate safety conversations with family and friends, as well as to normalize these discussions. Other collaborators in the project include the Upper Midwest Agricultural Safety and Health Center, University of Minnesota, and the National Children's Center for Rural and Agricultural Health and Safety, and the National Farm Medicine Center, both part of Marshfield Clinic Research Institute. Agricultural media editors say that the real stories make safety messages more relevant, according to the UMass-funded research. Telling the Story Project content is meant to be shared. Farmers, media professionals, teachers, extension, and safety professionals are especially encouraged to link to the stories and repurpose content. USDA's forecast for cotton this marketing year reflects year-over-year rises in several categories within the domestic production estimates and balance sheet. Rod Bain reports.
It harvested this season and higher prices expected per USDA's cotton forecast for the 2024-25 marketing year. As USDA economist Stephen McDonald noted at this year's USDA Ag Outlook Forum,
USDA forecasting a 7.5% increase in planted area. Prices are significantly better than a year ago, and they've come up nicely.
With the season-ending average price forecasted up almost 4 cents year-over-year to reach 80 cents per pound this season. The expected increase in planted cotton area should translate to both more harvested acres and greater production.
We've got a 30-something percent increase in harvested area with five-year average yields regionally. We get a nice bump in our production, up almost 30%.
McDonald adds that also expected up year-over-year on the domestic cotton balance sheet.
Lower beginning stocks, but we get our supplies up nicely, and a nice increase in our ending stocks at a 23% stocks to use. I mean, we're still just in the what I would consider the realm of stocks to use, where it's not really anything to worry about.
Including exports, which should be at their highest totals in 3 years.
We can't very well export cotton we don't have. So since we have it, that's one reason why we'll be able to export it. But then again, we can't export it if no one will buy it. We have world import demand rising with world consumption rising. So some of those importing countries that have been so great this year will go up. China's imports will go down, but 10 million bales is not bad. Some of the increase in imports we see this year is going into bonded warehouses, and it'll come out next year. It'll enter spinning. They won't be buying as much, but they'll actually be consuming at least as much imported cotton.
In terms of what world cotton production for 2024-25 might look like, McDonald says the forecast points to a 3% increase from the previous year.
The U.S. is suddenly accounting for almost all the increase in world cotton. We are expecting a recovery due to normal yields in Turkey and also Greece. And then in Brazil, areas going up. We're expecting yet another record crop. And we have some small decreases elsewhere, lower area in China and India, average yields in Pakistan, and continued depletion of the reservoirs with normal weather in Australia.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington.
Cargill awarded a three-year grant of $3.15 million to the National FFA organization in support of its commitment to shape future agricultural leaders. The grant supports a variety of National FFA organization programs and events during the three-year period from 2023 to 2025, including the organization's sustainability platform, the Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion Pathway, and the Living to Serve program. During the National FFA Convention and Expo, the grant supports a booth, the rodeo, and travel grants for career development event participants. In addition, the funding supports the American FFA Degree and American Star Awards. Cargill's grant also supports programs that encourage the exploration of career pathways in agriculture. This includes Ag Explorer and two career pathways, food products and processing in animal systems. This includes Ag Explorer and two career pathways, food products and processing and animal systems. In 2024, the grant will also support the Next Gen Conference, which is focused on food, processing, and products. The conference will be held June 25th through the 29th, 2024, in Minneapolis, Minnesota. During its first year, the Cargill grant has significantly impacted FFA. In the fall 2023 semester, funding helped FFA members, non-FFA members, and adults complete 77,678 hours of service through projects funded by year-long Living to Serve grants. It also supports 619 FFA members who participated in national competitive events related to the food products and processing career pathway and 1,600 members who participated in animal systems competitive events. Additionally, funds provided 14 travel grants to CDE participants to enable them to compete at the 96th National FFA Convention and Expo. The grant also helped fund the State Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion Collaborative, which helps state FFA associations create and implement EDI plans. The 2022-23 cohort involved 9 states, and 14 states are part of the 2023-24 cohort. National FFA and Cargill look forward to continued partnerships to ensure even greater impact in the remaining 2 years of the grant.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Reports. I'm Haley Gilley. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.